The views expressed are not necessarily those of KSCJ and Powell Broadcasting Company. This program is not intended to replace the advice of doctors or other clinical providers. Consult with your practitioner to ensure the proper course of action for you.
Welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well on AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ. This program is dedicated to your mental health wellness and brought to you by Family Services, a United Way partner agency. Here's your host, Art Silva.
Good morning, Siouxland, and welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well. This show is dedicated to your mental wellness and how you can help yourself navigate the daily highway of life. We hope to educate and motivate you to help improve your mental wellness environment. I'm Art Silva, and our show is brought to you by Family Services, a United Way partner agency serving the Siouxland community. Joining me today is my colleague and co-host, Brenda Geisinger, Chief Operating Officer at Boys and Girls Home and Family Services. Good morning, Brenda.
Good morning.
And how are you today?
I am fabulous, loving the fall weather. How about you?
I'm looking at all the Halloween decorations going up now.
Yeah.
It's that time of year. And then, you know, after Halloween, you know, it comes 3 days, 3 weeks later, you got Thanksgiving, 3-4 weeks later, then we're in the Santa time. So, boy, this year is flying by.
Yes, it is.
We're going to be, this December will make 2 years that we've been doing this show, bringing out to the public some of the things going on in the mental wellness industry and things that might be able to help you, get you thinking about getting some help somewhere. It's a tough time. You know, you look at, you want the cure for stress? Read it backwards. You're all set. So, with that, I'm going to have Brenda introduce our guest and topic this morning.
So today we have with us, once again, Rosie Strunk, who is a therapist at Family Services. She has been with us for 40-plus years. So she is phenomenal at her job and a wonderful person. So we're going to talk about bullying today. I think it's a topic that a lot of people know and are aware of, but it's always good to have that reminder in how we can help our children, everything they have gone through with the pandemic and the changes and things around. We can't forget some of those things that happen in childhood and how to keep our kids growing and doing well. And so we thought we'd talk about bullying again.
Well, good morning, Rosie, and welcome.
Good morning, Brenda and Art.
Glad to have you here. So, bullying. Let's frame this. What is bullying?
Okay. Well, bullying, if you think about it, it's an imbalance of power. It has to do with a power factor to it, a factor that a child may either actually have or perceive to have had. That can be about strength. That can be about popularity. That can be about if they have maybe more money kind of stuff. And they use that to either control or demean other people in a sense. So it's a power imbalance that tends to happen sometimes with children.
So are there different types of bullying that and different tactics that are used?
Yeah. I'm going to kind of say, when I was thinking about doing this, there's like 1 in 5 kids that get bullied. And I experienced bullying when I was growing up. So I'm going to tip this a little bit personally in regards to things. So, you know, there's different forms of bullying. One is verbal bullying, where kids will call names, will tease, will put them down. And that can be very wearing, like they'll call them an idiot or, you know, those kinds of words. Then you have social bullying, where it's more of looking at where you might not be included. You know, they don't invite you to a party, or they as a group will stare at you and make comments to you and stuff. And I'm going to talk about, for me, it was verbal bullying and social bullying. And as I was working on this and thinking about this, when we look at long-term impacts, it pulled it all back up. Some of the things that I was called, some of the things that the group around me in the sense of peer group would do. And it has a long-term impact in a sense. And so that's two of the bullying. There's physical bullying, and I'm going to talk kind of fast here, where people are people are either tripping or pushing or shoving, you know, kids in school. And then we have the cyberbullying. And mm-hmm. that is a mm-hmm. whole nother world for kids these days that are that have that cyberbullying experience.
Well, the cyberbullying has really made the news lately. I know there have been cases where people have taken their lives. Cyberbullying has caused that. So this mm-hmm. is not just a joke. Mm-hmm. It's pretty serious business, this bullying.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about children. We're going to get to that. But before that, I got a question. Do adults bully?
They do. Adults can also bully. And that's a whole nother show.
Yeah.
But it is. And to be real honest, parents can bully their children. And sometimes you don't really recognize that you're doing this in a parental world or adult world, but it does. It also happens in that arena too. It can cross the board.
Brenda, do we have children that we try to help that have bullying problems, either the victim or the bully?
Absolutely. I think we have kids that have been bullied and also those that do bully. And quite often kids that have been bullied are depressed, are anxious, have low self-esteem, and really helping them work through that. And as Rosie said, if you don't address it and work with that and become okay with yourself, it can have really long-term consequences. And it can come up in the most unusual ways. But helping kids understand that you are a good person and everybody has value really helps those long-term consequences kind of go away and fade.
Very interesting. I'm Art Silva, along with my co-host Brenda Geisinger, and our guest today is Family Services Clinical Therapist Rosie Strunk. You guys got too many letters by me.
Yeah, right.
Rosie got a lot of them, and she's up there. She's been with us a long time, and she's sharing with us today her experience dealing with clients that have bullying problems. Let's talk about some of the warning signs that a child is being bullied.
Well, there, you know, in looking at warning signs, sometimes you also, they can mean other things too. But, and I'll just relate to me. I did silent suffering where you don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You isolate. You start to not go to certain maybe activities, school things, because you don't know if somebody's going to say something to you, if they're going to put you down, and it's embarrassing. And so those kinds of things can happen in the sense of warning signs. If you have a child who is not wanting to go to school things, or sometimes there's times that I didn't want to go to school and I faked being sick because I just didn't want to go to school because I did not want to face what was going on in the school. And it happened in middle school. Middle school is a challenging time for kids. You can also have signs of physical ailments where sometimes kids are having stomach aches or they're having headaches or they're just feeling sick all the time. And so that's another kind of thing. Sometimes, you know, kids can come home without things that they took to school, like their lunch or certain items like pencils and pens and jewelry and
coats. That
kind of stuff, coats, mm-hmm. scarves, whatever, because the person who is doing the bullying is taking it. And so all of a sudden there's things that are missing and parents are going, well, where's this? Where's that? And they go, well, I lost it, because they don't want, you know, anything to be said or done because they're suffering in silence.
Is this something that starts earlier, and when you hit middle school, it really shows itself?
I can just speak for me. When you're in elementary school, kids just play together. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little different in elementary school. However, that it can start like in fourth or fifth grade, but middle school is when kids are trying to find their place, trying to know themselves. And so some kids may maybe use that sense of power in a negative way in that regard. Now, for kids who also bully, they also have issues. You know, they might also be struggling with stuff. But I see it a lot in middle school when I'm talking with clients. Some of it transcends into high school. But elementary school, you might get it maybe fourth or fifth grade, but a lot circles around middle school is what I experience.
What they're saying in regards to the research, it really kind of peaks in middle school with the bullying. Kids are trying to figure out their friend groups and how to be more independent and where do they stand in terms of hierarchy within a friend group. And then in high school, it gets more into the cyberbullying and the verbal and the social isolation kind of stuff, and not so much the physical. And both boys and girls bully. It's not just the boys hitting each other. The girls can also do the social bullying and the gossiping and the rumoring, and it can get vicious, really, really vicious. But it doesn't necessarily ever go away. It just might change how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
This is very interesting, and we're coming up on our break right now. We'll continue this discussion following our break. So you're listening to When Things Aren't Going Well right here on 1360 AM, 94.9 FM. KSCJ.
Let's face it, it happens to all of us. However, the pandemic has compounded all of our lives and activities. Even the simplest tasks seem harder. Hi, I'm Brenda Geisinger, the Chief Operating Officer at the Boys and Girls Home and Family Services. Family Services is a United Way partner agency serving children and families of our community, and we're here to help. If you'd like to learn more about Family Services, please contact us via email, website, Facebook, or phone Mary Pickens. At Family Services, we change lives.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well on KSCJ. Here's Art Silva.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well. I'm Art Silva, along with Brenda Geisinger and our guest, Rosie Strunk. We're going to continue our discussion on bullying. Okay, we're at the middle school level right now, and I think middle school is the toughest age group. A lot of changes going on in middle school. And when you talk, we have a couple of law enforcement people sit on our boards, and we've been told that you want to get to a child, you got to get to the child before fourth grade. Mm-hmm. It's already starting to form that behavior that's going to show up later on. Mm-hmm. So do siblings bully?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
So I can just say that, yes. They do.
Okay, so because
they can, you know, pick on their younger brother or sister. They can be calling them names. And, you know, when we think about the bullying process, it really wears your sense of self-esteem, self-confidence. And if it's, be it in school or out school, in family, out of family, it really makes a difference because it just wears you down. And as time goes on, it becomes more stressful for a person and for a child, in a sense. And they're, you know, trying to figure out how to deal with this and what to do about it. And when you go to school, you know, 9 months out of the year, and you spend the majority of your time in school, and you feel scared about going to school, you know, that's a stressful anxiety type of thing. And so you have kids who have, like Brenda was talking, anxiety issues, depression, those kinds of things that we're dealing with. But bullying can happen with siblings.
Okay, then I'm normal. It's okay. That works out well. Let's talk about some of the things we can do. What can people do to help combat bullying once they notice it and it's evident? What can people do?
Okay. Well, I think one of the first things, when I work with children who have been bullied and they're struggling with that, because you want them to feel safe, you can come up with, well, just walk away. Well, that sometimes just doesn't work. And so part of with parents or children or teachers or therapists who are working with children, it's like, first off, talking with them about what are some brainstorming ideas about how they can manage it, and that they need to feel safe. Because when I was being bullied, I would not have said anything because I did not feel safe. And so you're looking at where can these things, what can you say and do that feel safe? And so some of that might mean is to tell a teacher so that they can maybe be monitoring and things like that. So you talk about that. The other thing is about what are their support groups, you know, their peer groups, and is there any way that they can get support with that? And so the other part, though, is mentally and emotionally, helping them feel more confident. And that's a process. That doesn't happen over time. Because when kids suffer in silence, that's been a period of time for them. So the big thing is when I believe is that when you're talking with kids who are having that bullying experience, is to talk with them about how can you feel safe in that particular environment, and then what is it that you can do to help that. That'd be my thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's critical, safety first. We always learn that. And then how to kind of process those feelings and being okay. And quite often bullying happens where there's other people who can witness this or see it or engage or participate as well. So teaching them how to avoid those kind of areas or partner up with a friend. The mm-hmm. worst thing is to believe it's just going to go away or ignore it. And a child may be uncomfortable bringing it up. They may feel like, well, it's true, I am such and such that they're calling me, or if I say something, I'm going to look like a wimp or a chicken, just really hesitant. So sometimes knowing that it's happening, it takes the adult to bring it up or approach it, or to just say, come with me, mm-hmm. and kind of intervene in that process. Again, when I talked at the beginning of the show, it's the awareness. It's still out there, mm-hmm. and we need to be just always vigilant about noticing it and stopping it collectively as adults.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you talk about, there's kind of like a cycle of bullying. You have the persons who are doing the bullying, the person who is being bullied. You also have the bystanders,
right?
Those who are witnessing it. And some of those are participating in it by laughing and supporting the person who's doing the bullying. And some kids don't know what to do. They don't like it. They feel uncomfortable. They just also don't know what to do and how to handle it. And then you have those children who will stand up. So you have a lot of factors that might go into play in that whole cycle of bullying type of behavior. So the bystanders can also be mm-hmm. affected also too.
In my previous job, I was an auto dealer, and I used to watch bullying, how customers would bully cashiers. And this come up there, and you know, 5 o'clock at night, you get a little busy, everybody's picking mm-hmm. up their cars, and they get their bill, and some people want to question the bill and go through it. And other people just come up there and let them have it. They bully. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to solve anything. They're just beating up the cashier. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I put a mirror behind her. Mm-hmm. And if people could see what they look like when they're angry, it stopped. It calmed it right down. Uh-huh. And it worked. But, you know, customers get bullied. I mean, workers in retail stores will tell you they get bullied. Mm-hmm. Cashiers, they get bullied. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, this is not acceptable mm-hmm. behavior. And then the impact of it, where you just want to withdraw a lot of times, you can't fight back, and you're in a public situation, it's tough. Mm-hmm. It's really, really tough.
Yeah.
So I think bullying by adults, I've seen it. When people, we used to call it just throwing a weight around. Mm-hmm. And that's just, it's not right. And then you mm-hmm. see the victim almost like, yeah, you want to help them. So let's talk about the people on the sidelines that see this. What's the impact there?
I think they are also just as affected in the capacity of feeling anxious, feeling nervous, you know, not knowing what to say, what to do, but also not feeling comfortable with it. And with those bystanders, if you will, many times we might not connect with them in the way that you would with a child who is being bullied or a child who is bullying. But the bystanders are also victims of things, too. And so if they were to say something to anybody, be it parent or teacher or whatever, it's also important for them to be able to express, what's this like for me to witness this? Because they also have fear. I don't want to be saying anything either, or I'm going to be bullied. And so I don't want to say anything, but I don't like it. And so some kids are maybe feel more confident to go and tell somebody. Others, again, just kind of walk through and get through life and walk down the hallways or do whatever to kind of get through it. But they're also affected. They might have anxiety. They might not want to be around people either, because they're feeling, okay, I got to take care of myself. So I don't want to experience this either.
Domestic violence, form of bullying?
I would think it would be classified as one of those.
Just trying to figure out, is it could be verbal and it could be physical.
Yes.
Two of the types you described earlier.
Yes.
So that's something else. If you have a bullying trait in you, it carries on. Brenda mentioned that later on you have these issues. That's why it's important to deal with it now. Just talk about it, get it out there. If you need to get some professional help, give us a call. But I'll tell you, it's out there, and you don't have to be a victim. And if you're in that bullying mode and you want to stop it, come on in and talk. What's the trigger? Yes. What's going on? Why are you doing this?
Yes.
And I think Brenda said it earlier, you could have been bullied.
Correct.
So it's like a cycle.
Yes, it's a cycle. Yep. And those children who are doing the bullying behavior and are being victims of bullying, they have a complex type of dynamic that are going on. So they're trying to maybe gain a sense of personal confidence, but then also are being torn down by the person who might be bullying them, and then they're going and bullying someone else to feel good or to have some level of control or power. So it's a kind of can be a vicious circle.
A bad soup.
Yeah, bad soup.
You know, a few years ago we had that movie out on bullying. They went into the schools and took a look at it.
Oh yes, I remember that.
And I remember the most important thing was where people get bullied felt bad was when in the cars at passing time.
Yep.
It's really not that much supervision, and they get books knocked down, little things like that. Not little things, big things like that. But it happens, and it happens, and it happens. If it's not corrected, it's going to continue on, folks.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see that happening in your family, your child either being a victim, or look for your child being a perpetrator, the person going out there and causing the bullying.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be surprised when someone comes to your door and say, hey, your son just, I've been doing it for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so let's get in the game here, folks. It's out there. Bullying is not acceptable. We're still working on it. We've been working on it for a while.
Yeah.
So it's going to take a complete effort, focus in, and start at home. Take the smallest denominator. Work with your children. Work with that cycle, that small circle of friends that they have. Get them all feeling good and how to do the right thing. Now you got a whole little unit, an army of them walking out there doing the right thing. Rosie, I want to thank you. It's always good when you come on the show. We learn so much, and you're willing to share with us and really appreciate it. Brenda, thank you, and I want to thank our listening audience. Our joke today is going to be back to what I said earlier in the show. If you're stressed, read it backwards. That's your cure. So it's all good. Glad to have you here. I'll tell you what, we'll be back next week on When Things Are Going Well, next Saturday morning, and we're going to get into the Halloween spirit with you. So tune in Saturday morning at 7 o'clock right here on 1360 AM, 90.9 FM, KSCJ, and you'll get your spooky Halloween show. So, folks, we want to thank you for being with us. We have immediate openings for therapists, teachers, and mental health technicians. So call our HR manager at 293-4700. Don't forget to do your homework this week and go out and have a good laugh. It's good for the soul. Have a great week, and may the sun shine on you.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Happy trails to you. Till we meet again.
For more information on the services provided by Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, see them online at boysandgirlshomeiowa.org. Or you can call 712-293-4700. To get more information about family services, residential treatment, the Opportunity School, the Siouxland Family Center, and more. At Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, we change lives.